Emily Hendrickson to all of you so that you can meet Emily and learn a little bit about the Delamar Mining Company that's here. If you know that area, you know the Delamar Project that was a mine in the past.
Let's start officially.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Yep, we just got on.
Okay, so I'm Chairman Brad Holton. I'll call the meeting to order. We have a 3:30 agenda item. We're meeting with representatives from the Delamar Mine, mining operation, or however you want to call that. And with that, we'll introduce yourselves and we'll get started.
Well, thank you, Commissioners, for having us. I'm Isabel Bilbao with Bilbao & Company, also here representing Integra, and I want to introduce you to Emily Hendrickson, the External Affairs Manager, and she can answer all your questions and talk to you a little bit about the project and what's going on and how Canyon County will be impacted.
Mm-hmm. So I've been with Integra for about 3 years. We acquired the project in 2017. I was last operated in the late 1990s, so it's not in operation right now, so we call it the Delamar Project until it's an active mine, and then the Delamar Mine. And so we acquired the project from a company called Kinross, who had it in kind of care and reclamation for the last 25 or so years. But back when the mine was operating in kind of 1977 through 98, 99, it had about 150 employees or so at a time. When we get up and running again, kind of at peak regular production, we'll have about 300 employees. And then during the construction period, and I'll get into the timelines and all that good stuff, you can expect 500 contractors plus out there kind of any given time building the mine, roads, facilities, all that good stuff. So Integra, we have an office in Boise, and then the mine site is, if you haven't been out there, it's just to the west of Silver City, kind of right on the backside of Florida Mountain. So they've maintained that view shed with Silver City. So it is in Owyhee County. A lot of our outreach, I think like Isabel said, has been, you know, kind of like a dartboard targeted in the areas closest in proximity to the project, landowners, things like that. So Jordan Valley and Owyhee County for sure have been a priority, but we will be, once we get up and running, the only commutable mine from the Treasure Valley. And so that means that we will, and again, did before, draw employees in from Nampa and Caldwell and beyond. Kind of an important thing to know is that even me, just in my own social circles, I live in Boise, I have met so many people who are Idaho residents who maintain a rental room or whatever in Elko or elsewhere in northern Nevada. They work in mining there. I worked in a mine in Nevada, and we called our mill Little Idaho because they all came from salmon. They follow mining. It's good paying jobs, incredible benefits, education benefits, family wage jobs. Mines do incredible things for community. So in the last mine I worked at, we owned and operated a daycare, a grocery store, a golf course, things like that to be able to provide community. So it's not just like a traditional man camp sort of thing. But of course, we're coming into an already established community, very ag-centric. And so our hope is that we can work with all the stakeholders, A, so that nobody is surprised when, the NEPA process, public comment periods open, and B, that we can work together. Like, how can we all leverage? My job is I work for the communities, governments, stakeholders just as much as I work for the mining company. And I'm interested in seeing how the communities impacted by the mine, positively or negatively, can benefit in a really kind of meaningful way from the project. So,
yes.
Question, why did the Delamar mine shut down?
Yeah, there's a lot of mines shutting down in that time. That's about when the School of Mines at the U of I also closed. Price of gold just dropped to like $250 an ounce. And so they left a lot of resource in the ground because it would almost be wasteful to mine that when the price of gold is just so low. Now we're sitting around $2,000 an ounce pretty regularly. So it's just economic now.
Evaluated that they know there's product left there?
Yeah, so what we've done thus far, we started with a PEA, and that kind of proved up in a general sense that the project's economic. We followed that up in 2022. We released a pre-feasibility study, and that's available on our website. That did include a mill, and the investment community hated that, so we've since dropped the mill for now. That'll be like a phase two mine sort of thing. So it will be a heap leach only facility. So the economic side of it, we've done all the exploration drilling, all the kind of baseline economic analyses. It's an economic project. We're conservative. I think I forget exactly what gold price we base our economics off of, but it's $1,200 or $1,500 an ounce gold. And that's, you know, quite a bit of a drop from where it is now, where it's projected to be.
And if NEPA's involved, what are the impacts to Canyon County since it's in Owyhee County and you've got commuters, so you've got road traffic and infrastructure, but what are the environmental impacts for us, if any?
The Delmar project is kind of considered, in my opinion, more of an easy project in terms of environmental impact. So it's a brownfields project. If you go out to the mine site today, which I would invite all of you to come out for a tour and join me, it's a beautiful area. There, it's been reclaimed and some of the, and the pits have been backfilled to an extent, but there's high walls still seen. There's a historic tailings facility that we're continuing to dewater and treat water off of. There's, you know, waste rock dumps that have been reclaimed and recontoured, all that stuff. So there's roads. You can tell it's already been impacted. We don't have any sensitive plant or animal species, no endangered anything out there. The only water source is Jordan Creek, which is a small creek that feeds into the Owyhee River. The only population in there is red band trout. Has a healthy population, even though it's an impacted creek from historic 1860s mining activity when they would ladle mercury out of the creek to put in their vats to process gold. And we're working on habitat improvement things. But honestly, in terms of impact for Canyon County, it's very much kind of traffic, employment, you know, tax dollars obviously go to Owyhee County and the state as a whole. But yeah, especially, so kind of the general ratio that you see is that for every one mining job, three downstream jobs are created, whether that's a supplier, vendor, contractor, or a person who opens up a restaurant or a bar to support that.
Yes.
Given your love for mines, have you visited Utah's copper mine?
I have not been to that one. I visited mines all over the world, though, but yeah, what about that one specifically?
Well, I was curious because I drove out there for hours, it seemed like, but when you get there, they have a visitor center where you, I guess, get a brief tour on a video of what the copper mine does, and then...
Something on mine, Commissioner?
Ingham Canyon?
I think that is.
That could be. But then when the tour's over, they have a panoramic window where you can look at all that mining and how that goes down. It's pretty fascinating. The trucks that are huge look like ants. So it is a way to generate interest in the mine operation and then dollars from the tourist things that are there. They're limited, but it makes it interesting. And so yeah. I'm just curious because you had some mining.
Yeah, and what I've done before and what I've seen is we're always very open for tours. You know, transparency is a very big deal. So we do have currently a tour program in place and will throughout the life of the mine, that anyone who's interested in coming for a tour will have trained tour guides who can do that. But that's a great idea, kind of a viewpoint visitor center thing.
It made it the drive worth it.
Yeah, right.
What's the life and expectancy of the, if the operation commences, how long is that expected to produce?
About a 10-year mine life to start. And traditionally, that's fairly significant for a mine. A lot of the times, you'll produce kind of a 5 to 7 year mine life initially. The last mine I worked at, and I'm not a miner, to be, I mean, I'm a miner, but I come from like Western Oregon. I was going to be a nurse, and I kind of, you either are born into mining or you fall into it. I fell into it. My family fell into it during the recession. Gold does pretty well when the dollar does poorly, and so kind of fell into that. And my interest, my background was healthcare, right? So it's all people oriented and caring for people. And so this is kind of a great opportunity to marriage those two things. But yeah, just kind of that transparency piece of, we all have an idea in our minds of what a mine looks like, but getting out and seeing it in person, seeing the safety measures that are in place, the environmental protection measures, it's, you know, a lot of times almost ridiculous, like how much goes into it with the Mine Safety and Health Administration being in place. At the last project, we had to ban personal pocket knives from the mine because someone slipped and cut their finger a little bit, and it was kind of a major safety stand down thing. So, compared to like construction or ag, it looks a little silly, but yeah.
So will it generally be open pit?
It'll be open pit, yeah. There is potential down the road to add that mill and to go underground as well, just depending. Right now we'll be targeting the near surface oxide ore, which is just a little bit easier to process. There is a significant sulfide deposit underneath that, far deeper. And just as, you know, we can shore up those economics and make the processing effective, that's an option down the line too, so. You know, again, like most mines will truly produce or publish about a 5 to 7 year mine life. The last company I worked at did that every 5 years, and it's been about 45 years now. So, yeah. We'll always have an exploration department that's continuing to extend that life of mine.
Can you talk about the timeline, like, you know, starting the mine plan of operation?
So we'll submit our mine plan of operations to the BLM, which is our lead agency, at the end of this year. Then we go through the NEPA process, which we hope will only take a little under 2 years. You never know. But that's when you'll see all the public scoping meetings and public comment periods and all that good stuff. It'll go through its iterations of EISs. So it's a full environmental impact statement. And just because of the magnitude of the project. And then, so we're hoping for a record of decision by the end of 2026, and then 18 months of construction, and then into production by end of 27. Or some, yeah.
So is the site patented, or is it a claim, or what is it?
Yeah, we have patented claims. It's kind of a mixed land package between BLM, private patented claims, and Idaho Department of Lands.
So this is a marketing adventure to you, to just to generate interest and positivity for, I guess, what might be considered maybe a messy art or environmental issue. Is that?
So it's a transparency effort. It's not a marketing, and of course we'd love to have your support as we move forward, but I don't expect it after this one meeting. The goal is to open the lines of communication, let you guys know who we are as a company. I came to work for Integra because they are progressive, interested in doing this thing the right way from the get, right? So we have several sustainability initiatives that we're integrating into the mine plan. We will have a solar array that will help support the project. We will also have a Railveyor electric rail car system that will replace about 5 diesel haul trucks and take the CO2 emissions off of theirs. I'm working right now on our third annual sustainability report. We did a really sweeping materiality assessment with our stakeholders to understand what sustainability means to them. It's kind of this big word, right? But we drilled it down, and it means water quality and water quantity and rangeland management and biodiversity. And so everything that we do, we're keeping those kind of stakeholder priorities in mind of, okay, what's important? Is this decision respecting biodiversity and, you know, water resources and those sorts of things? So we are a shared user of public land, right? Our neighbors are ranchers and recreationists and all that stuff. So it's genuinely today is an effort in, I love talking to people who support us, and that's easy and fun and nice. I want to talk to people who have questions and who see it maybe as a messy thing. I want to show you the project. I wouldn't work for a company that that I didn't feel like was doing the right thing.
I think for us to be here too, to follow up with what Emily said is, you know, it is in Owyhee County. I'm from Canyon County. It's going to have a huge role in Canyon County, and you guys are going to be asked a lot of questions, and so making sure that you're aware who can you talk to at any given time, when those questions happen, when jobs become available, that you know there's a resource for you to find that information out and be able to give good answers to your constituents as well, so that they're aware. Having a lot of people come, you know, when the project is moving and as it grows, people will live in Nampa and Caldwell, as we talked about, the commutes. We've talked about transportation will be, you know, how that will play, just making sure that the county's knows what's going on and feels secure in the project too as it comes forward.
I heard you say competitive wages and good and great benefits, so that should help.
Always does.
Real competitive, but yeah, we will have to, because of our proximity, we will have to compete. So kind of in this area, you've got Nevada mining, and then you've got mining up north in Idaho. Up north, they don't pay as well as Nevada because, well, you live in northern Idaho, and it's beautiful, and everyone wants to be here, right? We will compete with Nevada mining wages, which the average salary in Nevada, I would say an entry-level salary in Nevada mining is about $80,000 a year.
And then on the reclamation side, so that you don't create Superfund sites. You know, there's issues still in North Idaho with that, but they've had that reclamation process where you've turned that is successful, and then they'll have ways to mitigate those consequences.
Definitely. Yeah, so the Delmar project won an award, or the Delmar mine won an award in 2007 from the Department of Interior for excellence in reclamation. They give out one of those a year, and that was really when they were kind of starting to button up the reclamation there. So it's a world-class example of how reclamation can be done correctly, but that was by 2007 standards. Today, we know so much more. Ahead of submittal of this mine plan of ops, we're developing our reclamation plan and looking, again, creatively. So we're looking to our neighbors at the Shoshone Paiute tribes of Duck Valley. They have a greenhouse seed growing program where they can ensure even that, you know, indigenous culturally sensitive species are included in that seed mix and going back, native species going back into the ground, doing all kinds of creative stuff like that, but a complete and comprehensive reclamation plan in addition to reclamation involved in the mine plan. So even how we slope the heap leach pad or the waste rock dumps or things like that, we're doing them on the offset in such a way that once the mine closes, a mule deer will be able to walk up it easily instead of going back in at the end and kind of resloping all that stuff. We also have a partnership with Trout Unlimited addressing those historic impacts on Jordan Creek. So it's a very big part of our business, and it's where we spend the most money, actually. Yeah.
Information for the record. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, transparency's sake. So I say heap leach, that does involve cyanide. And that's a word that is scary to people, right? It's a chemical that in all the movies kills people. But it's a process that's been used in the mining industry for a long time. So we'll have a closed system in terms of our water use. So any of our process water will be recycled through the process. Water's a finite resource, definitely, especially out in Owyhee County. There's not a lot of water available. So it behooves us in a number of ways to keep that water in that closed system. But how the heap leach process works is you have a double-lined layer. There's a clay layer. Then there's an HDPE layer that takes a crew of about 50 people about a week to fully roll out and install. You stack the ore on top of that after it's crushed. And then kind of like a drip irrigation system in your garden, a very diluted solution of cyanide is dripped over that, which just helps break down the rock and release the gold from it. And then that goes into ditches at the bottom of that layer, and then that goes into the processing plant. And again, once the gold is extracted from that solution, the water goes back into the system. So if we lose that water, we're also losing a lot of gold and silver, right? So obviously there's the environmental importance of keeping that a closed system, but there's an economic driver as well.
Does the pond still have a net clear over it for the waterfowl, or is it still there?
The only pond we have right now is a storage pond, so we treat the water that's coming off of the tailings facility, and that tailings, so it's kind of when in an act, and you've been to mines before, so a tailings facility is almost kind of like a big pool of jello, or pudding, I would say. And you dewater that, and that's what's been happening for the last 25 years, drying that up, keeping it stable. You can't build too much on top of a tailings facility just because of the geotechnical issues of it. We'll probably put our solar array there because it's a big open space that you can do that on. But the water that we're coming out of there's one water storage pond, but it's been treated. And then we do have a grandfathered in land application treatment site. So the final step in that treatment, the discharge of that, is on a local rancher's property. And it increases his grass growth about four times for his cattle too, so that's a good program.
I have one question too. It's fascinating. You obviously know what you're talking about, so
I sound like it. The PR person knows enough about everything. If you have real questions, I can definitely get you an answer. But mostly, yeah, we're just trying to kind of get introductions in. We'd love to hear from you, you know, which organizations in Canyon County we should be engaging with. I engage with everyone from chambers of commerce, economic development agencies, One of my personal drivers is making sure that we are sustainably developing this mine in such a way for our local communities economically as well, so that we avoid that boom-bust cycle that we've seen before. When the mine closes, all mines close. We're not losing everyone to Nevada like we did last time, right? What can we do to uplift the community at this time? We work with local health coalitions and Southwest District Health, tons of nonprofits, all kinds of things. So I, you know, that's anyone that you guys would recommend we get in touch with, I'd love to.
Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
I'll leave my card too. Yeah, so follow up.
Yeah, and anything you need, some of you know how to get a hold of me. Emily's available too, so make sure you reach out to us so that we can answer any questions. And, you know, we'd love to, I know you'd have to go individually probably more than in a group as three, but we'd love to have you out at the site if you want to go see it, see what we're even talking about. Bring other people. That as Emily mentioned, is always going to be available, so we can plan something with King and County as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dave.